Let's turn in the Bible to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Then we'll turn to Matthew chapter 6. Psalm 103 is perhaps the best known passage when we think of the fatherly care and love of God as it's expressed in the Old Testament. And reminded of God looked upon his covenant people and cared for them as a father is to care for his children. Let's remember the loving mercies of God. Psalm 103. A psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works and all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let's turn now to the New Testament, to Matthew chapter 6. We'll read the first 15 verses, this part of the Sermon on the Mount. Perhaps the most familiar part as we come to the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6, beginning at verse 1. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will himself reward you openly. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Let's ask the Lord for his blessing as we turn to the preaching of his word. Dear Lord in heaven, we thank you for your word. It is perfect. There is no error in it. It is perfectly equipped for what you plan to accomplish through it, including amongst us here this morning. We pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you would equip me to preach the word faithfully and clearly, that I would declare your truth, not mine, that, Lord, you would increase and that I would decrease. We pray that we would all have attentive hearts, not just hearing and processing in our minds, though that's needed, but Lord, that we would trust and believe in these things in our hearts, that you would work powerfully amongst us by your Holy Spirit. For it is by his power alone that this word will have its effect. But we know confidently that your word will not return to you empty, and so accomplish your purposes this morning. Bless us now as we worship you, as we actively receive the word and think through it, believe it, store it up in our hearts, and by your grace practice it in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Boys and girls, children, your parents have many names, depending on who's talking to them. They have a first name, which you probably don't talk to your parents using their first name. But others might. Other adults might call them by their first name, and we'll refer to them, and they hear their name, and they respond to it. Your parents also have a last name, and other children, your friends perhaps, are going to talk to your parents using respect. They're going to say, you know, Mr. So-and-so, or Mrs. So-and-so. They're not as familiar with your parents to start using their first name, but they speak to them using their last name. Or if you greet someone, and we heard this a lot in the South, and in the Freeman household, that when you greet someone, you use sir or ma'am if you don't know their name. And so these are names that you use to talk to your parents. But boys and girls, what do you call your parents? I hope you don't call them Mr. So-and-so you aren't that formal with them, as it were. What do you call them? Well, you call them by names that show trust and affection. Mom or dad, mummy or daddy or whatever perhaps name there might be, but those perhaps the most familiar ones. Terms of respect, terms of tenderness. And it'd be really strange if your friends came over and they started calling your parents mom and dad. It'd be kind of an odd thing. You'd kind of catch you off guard and think, that's strange. They're not your mom and dad. You don't get to call them that. I get to call them that. How you can't just come in and think you're suddenly part of the family in that way, that you have that kind of relationship that I do with them. And moms and dads, it's a wonderful thing when it's very sweet to hear or to see toddlers trying to, they're trying to say those for the first time, mommy or daddy, or trying to say mama, dada. See Lisa trying to coax it out of Edison and hoping it's mama first, not dada. But there's a sweetness to hearing that phrase, that term, the first words of our children, said with affection, said with an endearment, which speaks of a caring relationship, a trusting relationship. Well, in the mercy of God, this is comparable to how you and I, who are in Christ Jesus, in covenant with God, are able to speak with God. It says something about our relationship with God. In the Word of God, God calls us to address Him by a variety of names. There are many names in the Scriptures that speak to God's majesty and His power. God Almighty, Jehovah, the Great I Am, and nay, there's various names that the Israelites, you'd go through, particularly in the Old Testament, where we get the perhaps the clearest view of God's character in terms of the description of it. There's so many names for God. But as Thomas Watson puts it, in an expression of love and condescension, God has said that all his children can call him Father, call him Dad. It's God coming down to us, showing us love and kindness that we can call him Father. It's a privilege for all those who have been adopted by grace into God's family. We can call him that with all the tenderness, with all the care that the term implies. And in fact, God is the model father. He is the one that defines how other fathers ought to carry themselves and act towards their children. He's the one who is perfectly kind, perfectly tender, perfectly compassionate. Now, these words to the Lord's Prayer are quite familiar. Perhaps all of us at some point in our lives, we've prayed this prayer, maybe many times we've prayed this prayer in different settings. Well, this morning I want to just to consider that first, the preface to the Lord's Prayer, these familiar words, "Our Father in heaven." I want to consider the privilege that you and I have as children to call God our Father when we pray. And boys and girls, after the service, you're going to begin Sunday school, and for most of you, or many of you, you're going to be considering the Lord's Prayer. This is something, first of all, the idea that you can pray to God with such closeness is something to be excited about and to give thanks for. It is a gift of God and a privilege that God gives for you who are in His covenant family to speak with Him with such tenderness and grace through Jesus Christ. You too, through Jesus Christ, with childlike faith, can come to God. Jesus said, "Do not keep the little children from me." And you can go to the Father through Christ and know that He will hear you. It's a gracious provision of God for His covenant people, those who have been set apart and blessed and given rich promises of the gospel. So learn. This is not just going through the motions after church and Sunday school. It's an opportunity for you to learn and to use the privileges God has given you. And it's true for all of us, not just for the children. It's true for all of us because we're all children. We all need to be children of God through Jesus Christ and being able to pray in this way. As we consider this preface here, "Our Father in heaven," we will consider this, that as a child of God, you can begin every prayer knowing your Heavenly Father's paternal and powerful care for you. As a child of God, you can begin every prayer knowing your Heavenly Father's paternal and powerful care for you. And that's the two points that we're going to consider: the Father's paternal care, parental care, and the Father's powerful care. Well, let's consider first the Father's paternal care. And the central word to this whole passage is Father. It's a central word, Father. And it tells us much about the relationship that God's people can have with their God, both personally, individually, for you, and also corporately, together, as God's people, as the church. Well, first we need to consider, then, the Father's paternal care personally. The fact that you can call Him Father says that you are in God's family. It speaks to the blessing of adoption, the relationship that has been established between you and God in salvation, and as you've been brought into covenant with God through Jesus Christ. Remember the context of who Jesus is speaking to. Jesus is speaking in the Sermon on the Mount, and the Sermon on the Mount was given to the disciples. It's the disciples, and there were others around listening and among the people of God, and the covenant people of God, but it was given to these disciples were the main audience. And here God, Jesus is speaking to them and telling them, teaching them how to pray, what their personal privileges are that they can pray. In Luke, where the Lord's Prayer is also given, it is prefaced by the disciples asking Christ, "Teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray." And Jesus begins with this language that speaks to our adoption. In salvation, you have been justified. When you come to trust in Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. You are declared righteous. And at the same time, you are adopted. You are brought into God's family. You are able to call Him Father, and you receive all the privileges. The privileges. You've been declared righteous, and your adoption papers have been signed through the blood of Jesus Christ. And among the privileges you receive, you get to call Him Father. As Romans 8 tells us, that we get to, the Holy Spirit ministers to our spirit and gives us assurance that we are indeed children of God. And because we're children of God, He enables us to cry out, "Abba," which is Father. Recognize that God has chosen us to come into His family and has brought us into His covenant among His covenant people. It's a wonderful parallel here to human adoption. That is, as little ones who need that care, who need a home where they're loved and cared for and nurtured and raised, they're brought in and in a healthy situation that they're able to come into that family. They're not kind of a second-rate person in the family, that they're included among the rest of the family, among the rest of the children, and they're brought in and they receive the privileges of the home. This ought to be true of human adoption, and it is true of how God cares for His covenant people and loves them as a father. Now, as we come to pray our Father in heaven, this is a prayer that has that has its foundation in God, the Trinity, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's not just all about the Father. It includes all persons of the Trinity. All three persons of the Trinity are active when we pray to God. If you ever wondered, when you read the Lord's Prayer or pray the Lord's Prayer, where is Jesus? You know, we're so used to finishing our prayers, and this is not wrong. This is the way we ought to pray. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you might pray the Lord's Prayer and think, well, why doesn't it end? Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. But the reality is that the work of Christ is built in right into this first line of the Lord's Prayer. The only way that you can call God Father is because of Jesus Christ. The only way that you are coming, not just saying God, but you're able to say Father, is because Jesus Christ has earned your place in the family of God. He's your elder brother. It's because Jesus has come and died on the cross and paid the price for your sin that God can bring you into his family as one who's pure and holy because of Christ. Calvin writes that it's folly and madness for anyone to try to call God their Father without coming humbly through Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus Christ, we can, as our shorter catechism summarizes it, we can draw near to God with all holy reverence and confidence as children to a Father. And as we come, it's an expression of faith, saying, Lord, I'm coming to you as my Father. I trust in you through Jesus Christ. We pray always through Jesus Christ. We pray the Lord's Prayer through Jesus Christ when we begin speaking to our Father. And the Holy Spirit is also active in our prayer life. It's the Holy Spirit through whom we can come. It's the Spirit who ministers to our spirit, so we are able to call God Father, and he bears witness that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs and joint heirs with Christ. And we can pray to God. He enables us to call God Father. He enables us to pray. So you see, it's a triune work. It's the work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And as we pray, we can pray to any person of the Trinity, but most prayer is to be given to the Father. But we come to the Father through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the triune God enables us to pray, personally working in our hearts, personally working in you as you pray and begin with faith this prayer. He's given you this great honor, this great privilege. You can trust God. You can go to God. You know, if God had no interest in receiving you in prayer, he would not have said to you, call me Father. He would not have said, call me Father. He's not calling you Father, so you can go to him and he'll say, no, not interested, get away. He's brought you into his covenant family. He's told you to call him Father. The opening to the Lord's Prayer shows that he truly cares for you. Matthew Henry writes that when we come repenting of our sins, we must eye God as a father, as the prodigal son did. When we come begging for grace and peace and the inheritance and blessings of sons, it is an encouragement that we come to God, not as an unreconciled avenging judge, but as a loving, gracious, reconciled Father in Christ. As the saying goes, when we trust in Jesus Christ, we move from the courtroom of God to the living room of God. He's our Father. He becomes our Father who cares for us. Now these words perhaps might be difficult for you to hear. Perhaps you don't have good memories of your father, your father growing up. This could be an understatement even to say that. Perhaps it just that your growing up was just something you'd rather forget, or there are many things you'd want to forget. And that sin that has been committed by your father, that against you, or that has affected you, has wreaked havoc on the idea of what a father is, including the idea of a heavenly father, and saying, I'm not going to pray. How can I pray to a heavenly father? I don't want God to be my father. In some ways, this is understandable. But God is nothing like your father. In fact, God the Father is far, far greater than even the greatest father, human father, that has ever lived. He is the model father. See, God doesn't react to you like your earthly father did or does. He doesn't react and in that even reacting sinfully and angrily and responding, even fathers, as we sadly, sinfully do with our own children. But he treats you according to his good character, according to who he is, holy, just, merciful, gracious, full of love. And he may discipline. He does discipline, but it's always done in love, and it's always done in proper proportion. Perhaps you've not had a good earthly father, but in God you have the perfect Father, the Heavenly Father, the one who adopts you, the one who makes a commitment to you that he will never leave you, he'll never forsake you, you'll never be an abandoned child. Thomas Watson writes, and I think I've quoted this several times, but I love this quote, but he writes that when God is your Father, that no evil will befall you. Not no trouble. Not that you'll know. He does not say, and Watson's careful here, he says, not no trouble, but no evil. Meaning that even those things that are hard in this life, God will use for your good and turn for your good, and that your Father cares for you. He never let, there's nothing that evil that can be done against you. God is watching over you and caring for you. So come to him as you perhaps couldn't come to your own Father. Depend on him. Trust in him. Rest upon him. He'll never forget you. He'll never fail you. Isaiah wrote to the people of Israel of the faithfulness of God in Isaiah 49, and he tells them, he said, a nursing mother may forget her child, but I will never forget you. I will never leave you. We think of the impossibility, the idea of a nursing mother forgetting that she has a child, and yet, as impossible as that may sound, yet it's even more impossible, absolutely impossible, that God would ever leave his children. God's care for you is personal. He loves you, cares for you. He's your Father. Well, as much as it's a deeply personal relationship, you're also not all alone. It's also a corporate relationship, a family relationship. You're not all alone. Adoption brings you into a family, brings you into God's family. You're not an only child. Christ, as I've said already, is your elder brother. He's a son. He's God's son by nature. We're God's children by grace. But Christ is our elder brother, but as the Word of God says, he's not ashamed to call us his brethren. He's not ashamed to receive us into his family. He's not ashamed to say, oh, that's my brother, that's my sister. No, Christ receives you. It's because of Christ that you've been brought into God's family. It's because he's come so that he could have brothers and sisters by grace. But along with Christ, who is our elder brother, there are also other sons and daughters of God by grace. You're brought into the family. This is why we can call God our Father. The prayer is not my Father. It's our Father. It's interesting, even as Jesus gives the command in the beginning of verse 9, in this manner, therefore, pray. That command to pray is plural. It's not just you pray. It's you all pray. In this way, you all ought to pray. And the prayer is corporate. It's for the covenant community to be able to pray with and for others. That's how our Shorter Catechism puts it, that we can pray with and for others, even as we're praying perhaps by ourselves, that we can still pray our Father and remember our brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's a great privilege to pray for each other. It's a great privilege to pray for each other. It is one of the greatest privileges of the Christian life to be able to pray for your brothers and sisters in the faith. It's one of the greatest ways to show love to one another. It's one of the greatest ways to build unity amongst the family of God. It's one of the greatest ways to grow in the faith. For you, not just to grow personally, but for the church to grow and flourish and be strong and to be glorifying Christ. Do you spend time praying, Our Father, thinking of your brothers and sisters in Christ, even here in this place? Never mind those who are also outside of this particular church. And you need to pray specifically. It's a great opportunity to get to know each other and to get to know needs and to pray specific needs and to think. As you're using the monthly prayer calendar, or perhaps you have your own way of praying for the church family, to say, what are their specific needs? What have they said to me that I can be praying about for them? It's one of the reasons God puts us into a local church, is that we're able to be a family together here and to pray for one another and care for one another. It's a privilege of being in God's family. The 17th century Dutch theologian Herman Witsius tells us that such prayer is a perfect expression, or is, if it's not perfect, I guess it's a perfect expression, but it's a great expression of loving God and loving our neighbor, as we considered that earlier in the service. He says such prayer is fitted or made to put away envy, to quicken or to increase our desire of obtaining blessings for our brothers, and to produce joy at the benefits which they receive as received by them in answer to our prayers on their behalf. This address to our Heavenly Father, when sincerely and devoutly made, is exercising the highest and purest love and fulfills the whole law of God. And we're able to pray for others. And when we see God answering those prayers, you know, we're praying for someone's job, and we see them get a job that's good for them. We're not jealous, thinking, oh, they got a better job than I've got. No, we're thankful. We're thinking, Lord, our Father in heaven, thank you for caring for my brother. Or we see them get through a period of depression or illness, or we can pray and we give thanks to God together. It's a great privilege. It's a corporate privilege that we have to pray our Father in heaven. As a child of God, you can begin every prayer knowing your Heavenly Father's paternal and powerful care for you and for your brothers and sisters together. Well, we've seen God's care, this paternal care, personally and corporately. We've considered the beauty of adoption, the love of God, the sweet access we have to the Father through Christ. But this care is not only paternal, it's also powerful. It's our Father in heaven that we pray to. Our Father in heaven. So we consider, secondly, the Father's powerful care. As you read through the Bible, you can learn much from the various prayers that we find through the Scriptures. Think of Solomon's prayer in 1 Kings 8 as he prays to God, representing the covenant people of God at the dedication of the temple. Think of Ezra and Nehemiah, which we've just studied through, and the various prayers of Ezra and Nehemiah. Ezra 9, Nehemiah 9, Nehemiah 1 as he was crying out for God's people. Perhaps prayers to read this week, to meditate on, think about, to use as models for your own prayers. But as you read these different prayers in Scripture, there's a common element we find in biblical prayer. And that is this, that no matter how close a person is to God, no matter how close their relationship is with God, how close they are walking with God, there's always a recognition in the one praying of God's transcendent glory. That God is so far above us, so high and mighty and glorious, that he's far beyond us, and that it's but for his grace, we would have no access to him, no way of getting to him, no way of reaching, no ladder between earth and heaven. And so we see those who pray in Scripture coming to God with a childlike access in some ways. Even in the Old Testament, there's hints of it, a closeness, a close walk with God, not as open and free as we have in the New Testament, but still we can read these prayers as a closeness. But yet they never, ever forgot God's place. He's the creator. We are the creature. And God was often described in the Old Testament as well by being God in heaven. Solomon in 1 Kings 8, Isaiah uses this phrase, speaking of in Isaiah 63 of God looking down from heaven. Jesus here, our Father in heaven. There's always a reminder of who God is, where God is, far above us. Our larger catechism on this question, on this petition of the Lord's Prayer, or this preface to the Lord's Prayer, he writes that we need to approach the Father with a due apprehension of his sovereign power, so he's all-powerful, of his majesty and of his gracious condescension. Though our children can call us mommy or daddy, yet though they have that close relationship with you, yet they ought not to use that to abuse their relationship with you, to think, well, now I can disrespect you. I can treat you poorly. It's a term of respect as much as it's a term of endearment. And so it is with God. We call God our Father, but we never forget his glory. We never forget who he is compared to who we are. So when we pray our Father in heaven, we remember his unspeakable glory, the one that we can never fully plumb the depths of how glorious and wonderful he is, of the glories of his creation. The glories of his care for his creation, especially for his people, his care in sending Christ to save sinners. His care, we think of his character and who he is and every one of his attributes and who this God is. You and I have the opportunity as we pray here to fill our minds with high thoughts of God and of the privilege that we have to come to God, as we're going to see this afternoon as well, and to cry out, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name, and what is man that you are mindful of him? Who am I that I can come and approach you so personally, so tenderly? The Lord's Prayer, as we open the Lord's Prayer, our Father in heaven is an example of praying adoration, opening our prayers with adoration, praising God. It's a good pattern for us to begin our prayers praising God for who he is. even if it's simple, quick prayer in the circumstance, like with this opening to the Lord's Prayer, our Father in heaven. Those four words tell us much about who God is. Not that we say these things mechanically. Not that we, there are some in some religions that where you repeat the Lord's Prayer, and if you say it five times, and there's different benefits you get from just repeating the words. And yeah, it's interesting. There's an elevator that you're not allowed to have them anymore, but there are some places where they have them. They're called Paternosters after this idea, but they are fathers. And it's an elevator that keeps going around in a loop, and it keeps moving, so you got to get on it. And the idea, this is why they're not used anymore, because they don't stop and wait for you to get on. They just keep moving. So you've got to get on that thing before it keeps going and you get crushed. But it's the idea, why was it called a Paternoster? Because it came from this ritualistic use of the Lord's Prayer. We just keep going up and down. We keep going up with our prayer beads and our prayer chain. And we just pray this as if somehow mechanically using this, that God is glorified. But we need to pray with the heart. Pray with the heart. Our Father in heaven. Know that He hears us for the sake of Christ. As we pray, our Father in heaven, it also lifts our minds up to heaven. The early church fathers, John Chrysostom, wrote that praying this prayer leads the suppliant, or the person praying, leads them away from the earth and attaches him strongly to lofty regions and heavenly contemplations. Lofty regions and heavenly contemplations. When you come with a great burden, pushing your eyes down to the earth, when you come with all the troubles and the weights and the struggles of life, keeping your eyes fixed here, looking at this trouble or this challenge, you can come and lift your eyes up to heaven through Jesus Christ. This is the opportunity for your eyes to be lifted up, praying the Lord's Prayer. To see God on the throne, to remember that He's the one in control, not you. To remember that He's the one you need, that you can't help yourself. To remember that you are weak, but He is strong. He has a plan. He cares. He's ruling. And He has the power to help you as His child. You're reminded that nothing is outside of His attention. Nothing is outside of His care. Nothing is outside of God's power. In Philippians 4, Paul tells the church to pray. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We can only pray like this. We can only live like this, brothers and sisters, because we can come to our Father in heaven. Because we can pray, our Father in heaven. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You can know this blessing as you come to your God and say, our Father in heaven, here are my needs. Here's the help I need. Here's my weakness. As a child of God, you can begin every prayer knowing your Heavenly Father's paternal and powerful care for you. Well, how will this affect your prayer life? How will you approach praying differently, knowing these wonderful truths of God? Got an awesome lesson from our Lord Jesus Christ this morning and how to pray and the access we have to God, the closeness we have to God. He's teaching us how to pray. When the disciples ask, it's the question we ought to ask, Lord, teach me to pray. And He comes praying, our Father in heaven. That's how we begin. God graciously grows us, patiently teaches us how to pray, and encourages us in our prayers. Like you, as an earthly father or mother, may teach your children how to do something. You're teaching them and you're encouraging them and you're giving them instruction and you're giving them that encouragement to do whatever the different task or thing they're learning. Here God comes and He's teaching and He's saying, come to me. You can pray to me closely, intimately, and I will continue to grow and build you in your prayer life. Boys and girls, God is teaching you now, and He's going to teach you again in Sunday school. There are means that God uses to teach you how to pray and to enable you to pray. And to pray boldly. And the question is also this morning, is God your Father? is God your Father. See, the privileges of these prayer, of praying like this, as you've heard, these privileges are wonderful. But they're for those who are in covenant with God. They're for children only. Are you on the outside looking in? As it were, outside the family of God, looking in through the window and wishing you had that access to God, that access, that love for God, where the fear, where the dread of God is replaced by a love of God and by a compassion and care for God. Do not die on the outside looking in. Become. The only path to know God as your Father is through adoption. The only path to adoption is through Jesus Christ. And it's to come. It's to come and to confess your sin. To say, Lord, I don't deserve you as my Father. I don't deserve to have such communion with you. My sin has separated me from you. But remember me for Jesus' sake. Remember me. Save me. Wash me clean in his blood. Take away my sin. Bring me into your family. Sign those adoption papers with him, with his blood. Bring me into your family. God says, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be opened to you. This is the work of God. Salvation is the work of God. It's not, you're not coming on your own merit with your own works and acts and saying, God, you owe me, you got to bring me into your family because I've done such and such a thing. No, God adopts freely. But come, seek his grace, become part of his family. Come to know this Father. Come to know this Father through Jesus Christ. Well, children of God, boys and girls, covenant family, children young, children old, you can pray with confidence using the name that God has given you to pray. Whether you use the exact words of the Lord's Prayer or whether you use this prayer as a model for your own prayer life, it speaks volumes about God, doesn't it? As you pray this, it tells you so much about God. It tells you about his transcendent power. It tells you about his condescending love. Take up this invitation. Pray in faith to your Father in heaven. Pray, Our Father, for that is the name that he's given you to pray. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, what a wonderful privilege you've given us. What awesome grace you've shown to us. What love to bring us into your family. Lord Jesus, what love that you would come. You would suffer in our place. This is the punishment we deserve for sin. You would take that on yourselves that we could go free. And not only that we could go free, but that we could be brought into the family of God. That we, Lord Jesus, would become your brothers and sisters. And you're not ashamed to call us that. Lord, your grace is so amazing. Thank you for reminding us of it this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God, that you witnessed with our spirits that we are sons of God, children of God, able to call him Father. Continue to strengthen our assurance and grow us in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And Holy Spirit of God, again, if there are any here who are on the outside of God's family looking in, who have no relationship with Jesus Christ, please bring them in. Draw them savingly to yourself. Bring them into the family. And powerfully, Lord, comfort their hearts and bring them into this intimate, close relationship. And Lord, if there are those hurting, as they've heard much about fathers this morning, and if there are any here hurting, thinking of their own earthly father, Lord, please give comfort and give help and show them that you are the perfect, perfect Father in heaven. You are the one who gives perfect comfort and cares perfectly for your children. So give the grace needed there as well. Lord, remove every barrier. Every barrier we set up between us and you, every way that we draw back from you instead of drawing near to you, please comfort us and give us faith to believe these words and to pray this way. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.